You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Very special guest, Andy Zaleski here for the Dino Pitschka Memorial Softball Tournament, 15th annual. Coming up at the Casco Village Park, Church Avenue in Casco, rain or shine, starting on May 29th, which is tomorrow, through June 1st. Let's talk a little bit one more time, if you don't mind, Annie, about your nephew here, Dino Pitschka, who was killed in action in Iraq, and just about the kind of guy, and again, God bless his Marine experience and everything he did to have the courage to do that, but talk again about the Dino Pitschka that you knew before he joined the Marines, and what a caring human being he was.
He really was. And it's kind of cliche to talk about someone that way, right, after they're gone, but not in this case. I mean, you didn't know Dean without loving him is what it boils down to. He was a good kid. He always, he was inclusive. He always wanted to include everyone. Even we used to have parties at our house where they'd be playing croquet in the backyard and there'd be, you know, a young girl standing off to the side that he didn't even know because there were so many different, you know, right, families there, and he would invite them to play. And that's just it, that just epitomizes the kind of guy that he was. He was well known throughout the county because he was, you know, quite the athlete.
Wasn't a quarterback, point guard, started baseball
pitcher,
player.
Yes, but he was also very musically inclined. Was starred in most of the musicals.
Wow.
At LC, he was part of the Boys. They started an a cappella group.
Wow.
And we have some recordings from that I will treasure forever.
Wow.
He taught himself how to play guitar, and he started his own band after he left high school. And so he was well known throughout the county. That's why the scholarships, you know, go throughout the entire county. Like I said, if you knew him, you loved him.
And the Marines was a big part of his life, but talk about he took all his talents and became an educator.
He did. He got a full ride. He was a scholar too, on top of everything else.
Right.
He got a full ride to Carroll. Now University, Carroll College back then. And he got he got his undergraduate degrees, and then he decided he wanted to take the teaching path. So he got his certificate, and his first job was teaching at a school for disadvantaged kids in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He took this ragtag group of kids and he made a basketball team out of them. They played in shorts and t-shirts because there was no money at that school for uniforms, but he served as their first coach. And
quite the lives he affected, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's great.
There's... For his wake, they brought, I don't remember, it was 3 or 4 busloads of kids from that school came to his wake, and they have since, their snack room at their school, they have named it Mr. O's snack room.
So this is great. So you took this tragedy, turned it into a fundraiser, baseball tournament, which people love in this neck of the woods. Tell me where some of the money goes. And it's 15 years. You must have done some great things over those years.
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. It's almost like I cued you. Because last night I sat there going through, because I give opening remarks when we do our military service on Thursday night. And so I'm going to give away some of my thunder here. But I mean, we've given out almost 50 scholarships.
Wow.
And, you know, we couldn't start right away the first year because we were just getting started. So I think that's since 2011. I think we've been giving out scholarships. We have given to, I'm also the secretary on the board. So I have every single donation that we've made is recorded in the minutes. So I went back through 12 years of minutes, and I found that we've donated to almost 150 individuals, 16 of those being veterans. And when you include all of the separate charitable contributions that we've made, I mean, we're talking everything from, you know, local, like Bremer Park in Kewaunee for their all-inclusive playground, to things like Toys for Tots, Shop with a Cop, the food pantries. I mean, you name it. If it's a worthy cause and we
all
vet it out.
All things that he would be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly that's our thinking, John. Yeah. Exactly. But that totals almost 200 individual.
Beautiful.
If our funds are running low in any given year, it's like we try to keep them as local as we can, but we've given to people outside the area too, and we see that it's a very good cause.
No, that's great. I mean, that's what makes this world go around, is a lot of these nonprofits that, and none of you take a penny, you know, I've been there, I've seen you guys all working, you've got family that, and then of course the community steps up in a big time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the things that people can do. Yeah. It's more than just watching baseball.
I mean, softball.
Softball. Sorry, John.
Trust me, baseball players and softball players, they know that
they're going to duke it out. We've got raffles going all 4 days. We've got bucket raffles where you can, buy your tickets and choose what you want to put your ticket in for.
We should talk about some of the raffle items you get.
Yeah, they're great.
Those are unbelievable. Some of the stuff's handmade, we talked about the cornhole boards. There's just a lot of very interesting, neat things that I just love.
People really step up with, like you said, some very interesting items. We get handmade quilts. We get people putting baskets together for us, so that we don't have quite as much to do in that respect. But
because that gets to be a grind.
Yeah, we spent about 3 hours last Tuesday.
I remember one time my whole living room for a golf tournament I put on, my whole living room floor was covered in stuff.
My dining room was full until I took it to, we call it basket making night. But we usually have 60. We get gorgeous, gorgeous plants. Good friend of mine puts together a pot that is absolutely beautiful. If you're a flower person, you're going to put a lot of money in that one.
Another thing here, just reading. Okay, it starts off the military ceremony tomorrow night at 6:15.
Yes.
Raffles all weekend. Need not be present to win.
Correct.
Raffle drawings begin Sunday at 3. First prize, $1,000 donated by you and your husband. Wow. Second prize, $500 donated by Scotty's. Third prize, 70-inch smart TV. Again, donated by all the brothers in the family.
Mom and dad and, brothers.
$350 Better Life Kewaunee. Fifth prize, $300. Another local, on and on and on and on. And what I'm trying to get across here, this isn't like, okay, God bless the Schreiber Foods or the, of the world. These are all individual people that are donating for this.
Yep.
Which I think is really cool.
Yep, exactly. We get, our treasurer can go to the P.O. box and pull out a check for $25. That's, that's what makes this work.
Right. Yeah. It does. And Sunday, booyah, 10 o'clock until it's all got home.
I'm telling you.
It doesn't say booyah at 10 o'clock while supply lasts. It says 10 o'clock till gone.
Till gone.
Till gone, yeah.
Which could be 11 o'clock.
It's the best booyah around,
I
guys.
I can imagine.
In my opinion, I got to give them a shout out, Tina Lulu and Deb Prebeck.
Okay.
Right. Oh, God, they make the best booyah around.
Do they sell it to go at all?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, most of the time, they even have containers.
Okay.
You don't even need to bring your own.
Awesome.
And just good local food. You got the brats, the burgers, the trip.
It's all locally procured.
Explain trip.
Well, I went out first there just to kind of get that. As I said, it's disgusting. But we buy it because there's a ton of people that love it. It's actually sauerkraut within the brat.
Yeah.
And you can taste it and you can smell it.
You don't have McTunkey, do you?
We do not have. I mean, I think there were a couple years where people donated, for our raffle. That happens all the time, and like for our church picnics and stuff. That, I mean, those buckets are full of tickets. Everybody wants McTunkey. Usually we don't have it. Again, thank God, because you can smell that stuff.
Oh, man. Right? They bring it to me every year in Kewaunee at the high school football games. That press box smells like McTunkey. You'd have to know what McTunkey smells like. But let me tell you something else. Not to do. Leave it in your truck in the back seat. For like a weekend, you don't use your truck, and you had the windows rolled up on a hot day.
All it takes is a day. I had bought some to take to a good friend of mine who is German and and Bohemian, and she had never had it. She wanted to try it. I had it in my car for a day.
Yep.
I couldn't even take it out and put it in the garage. I had to put it in an outbuilding because it smelled so bad.
Sauerkraut is it. Yeah, it gets it going. The whole thing is great. The whole event, everything you do. You're the announcer. It's great to watch the softball. But
that's what I mean. You do everything. They do,
but no pets allowed. Remember, I brought my dog last year, and you guys are like, "Hey, you can have your dog in here."
Yeah, so,
he tried saying Milton was a service dog, and they looked at Milton like, "Yeah, nice try, sir."
I did not. I got to go food. That food was really good. I mean, I talked to you for a little while. Watched the game, but maybe it's okay watching the game. But I understand that in the food tent, you can't have that.
It's not our rule.
No,
it's the village rule. Yeah. So we have to abide by it.
It was great.
So sorry.
No.
Well, once again, the 15th annual Dino Pitschka softball tournament. And I just want to talk one more time about, you know what always gets me choked up a little bit too, when I see his grave there, like when he was born, I was in college. He could have been my son. I mean, seriously, you know what I mean?
At that age, these
young kids that are getting killed over there. But your area was hit hard.
Yes.
Right around that time. Can you talk about that? I mean, I've never seen an area in Wisconsin, other than maybe Milwaukee, someplace where there were more people, but for the population in your area, you guys really paid the price, didn't you?
There were three guys they all went to LC High School. Ryan Zimmerman, Jesse Theory, and then Dean was the last. But, you know, I think Dean's wake could have gone on for days.
Yeah.
There were so many people that showed up. When we met him, when they brought him back through Austin Straubel, and we drove back all the way to Casco, to the funeral home in Casco, the 54 even, not just the streets of Luxembourg, Highway 54 was lined with people waving flags, signs saying, you know, never forget. And we don't forget that either. We cherish the community. We're so grateful to them for all the support that they've given, not only our family, but to the tournament as well.
Just in general, the Theories were a really great friend of mine, Randy and the whole bunch.
Yeah, I know him a little. Yep.
Yeah. And the Jerebecks were great friends of mine. Isaiah Hunt, his dad, was a great friend of mine, played for the Packers. It really got on a personal level. That war was brought to Northeast Wisconsin, wasn't it?
It was. It really was. You know, for a while, you kind of hated to turn on the news because you thought there was going to be, you know, breaking news with another service member.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, Annie, and what you do and what your family does for this. You want to talk about coming right from the heart. It's what you guys do. Annie Zalewski, Dean Opitschka Memorial Softball Tournament starting tomorrow night at Casco Village Park, rain or shine. And you'll be doing the opening ceremonies at what time?
6:15.
6:15.
Yep. The directions, because I got lost, but Village, it's very easy to find.
It is very easy to find. Come down 54 out of Green Bay and take a right on Church Avenue.
There it is.
And then you'll, right after the church, you'll hear the noise.
I can't miss it. So.
But I want to thank you guys for this opportunity to talk about
Dean. We love what you're doing.
And like I said it before, labor of love for all of us.
Whatever we can do for you, and I want to thank you for an incredible speech you gave that day at UW Green Bay. I had somebody stop me after an event I did Sunday to talk about it. Yes, you made an impact.
Thank you.
Because everything you do is from the heart.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank
you
so much.
We do it for Dean.
Yeah.
Damn right. We'll keep doing it for Dean.
We will.
All right. Mind on the Mayor back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
John Fogerty, on his 80th birthday, we're talking baseball last night. Christian Yelich, an unbelievable walk-off grand slam. Brewers back in action here on WISS 11:35 today, taking on the Red Sox once again. And of course, starting tomorrow, the Dino Pitchka Memorial Softball Tournament in the town of Casco. So great selection there, Todd. Now we're talking about something else we like to, shouldn't say like to talk about, but something we totally support, and that is the fight against Alzheimer's. We're with Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Sutherland to talk about the fight, the battle, and some things I saw in the news fairly recently about some potential breakthroughs as far as like a real early diagnosis and things like that. So first of all, doctor and my friend, good morning. I haven't seen you. I saw you just a couple of months ago. How you been?
Good morning.
Good to see
Doing
you.
Good.
Good. Go ahead and talk about where we're at with this and your passion for this and how we can all help in any way.
Yeah, well, I guess I just wanted to start off by thank you for the supporting the Alzheimer's Association. You guys have done a lot. You came out to an event that I hosted a while back, so it's good seeing you again.
And I'll tell you, Doc, that you write in here how people, you know, it's over 7 million people now. I mean, and it's growing, which is a little bit of a concern, but maybe it's just being diagnosed better. We'll get to that. But Johnny and I both have lost loved ones to that.
It's personal.
Right. My sister, you know, his
my sister-in-law, who is unbelievably close to.
Right, his mom. So, and I,
whose grandson is graduating today, who was the joy of her life.
Right.
How great it would have been for her to be. Yeah, right. Just so it's so personal.
It's real. There's a lot of need out there for a lot of things, but
Jim, when you see some of those numbers that come out, you know, I think that it's sometimes hard to wrap your head around those numbers. But I was thinking on my way in this morning about right here in Wisconsin, the number of people that are living with Alzheimer's. You could fill up Lambeau and where the Bucks play, and still be and still have. Need to find a place for 10,000 people, right? So there's
isn't that something?
Over 100,000 people in this state who are living, and you think about then their extend, you know, their families, and their kids, their grandkids, all the people that are affected is really enormous, and we're unfortunately, I think we're going to see more. You know, the population is aging, and so I think we're on the cusp of seeing more. Unfortunately, so your comments about early diagnosis and treatment is really critical.
So how are we doing? I mean, this wasn't the biggest thing 20 years ago. I don't remember it.
We had never heard of it growing up or anything that. Right.
And again, I was talking to the med students about this when I graduated from medical school. So again, this was a couple of decades ago, I guess. But it wasn't in the top 10 for causes of death, right? So now it's, you know, sixth or so, somewhere in there, right?
Why?
So, well, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think there's probably, we're going to find out, I think that's a lot of factors, you know, that's... There are potentially environmental exposures. There are, you know, we're more sedentary, obesity. There's just a lot of different things that are put people at risk. Social isolation. You know, there's a lot of different things that may be driving that.
Well, okay, let me just say this. I'm not trying to sound like a smart butt here or anything, but that's good because those are things we can somewhat control, our obesity and our moving around and getting away from certain things, right?
Absolutely. We know what some of the modifiable behavior.
And I've never heard that before, did you? Yeah.
What, that we should exercise, John? I think I've heard that before.
Pay no attention to him. Pay no attention
I think it's a multiple things, like you said. And I want to stay with Alzheimer's, but they've done a lot of studies on loneliness and what a killer that is. And I think that fits into what you were just talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
Isolation.
It's one of the risk factors. Right. You know, and I think for a lot of people, you know, they retire and then all of a sudden they're not challenged and they become isolated. And so there's a lot of, there are, you know, I mean, one of my interests, one of the things I really like to talk about is prevention. What can we do to modify some of those risk factors, right? To try to be on the front end of prevention. And then the treatment piece is really going to be increasingly important. Early detection, early awareness, talking about what happens early on, because a lot of the therapies are going to be critical in the early part of the disease.
Right. Rob, this is a passion for you as well.
It's a serious passion.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And I can confirm the medical community has come a long way. My wife actually was diagnosed in 2012, early onset. She started showing signs. At the time, we knew not what the heck's going on when she was 52 years old.
I remember we talked about it one time.
Yeah, and at that time, 2012, really very little funding was taking place to help people with Alzheimer's research and so forth, and very little progress was being made in the medical community. But over the last few years, clearly we've taken some big steps in diagnosis and prevention, talking about things we can do differently to help lower the risk factor. And then also some drugs, I guess, that can, if detected early enough, can actually
slow down
the progression. Mm-hmm. But they are making progress, and that is wonderful news to anybody affected by this disease.
And that really is what is so exciting, is that there are novel approaches where they're expanding. The pipeline is becoming more diverse in terms of the types of drugs that are in there. And so I think it's that's exciting to see.
How early can it be detected? I mean, can it be detected before people are showing, like for yourself, you had to be thinking, because I remember with my sister-in-law, it was just really little things. She was brilliant. She was an RN. She taught in colleges, and she was brilliant. Yep. And she would do things that just weren't her. Nothing major, not like, you know, getting one, but just.
In my case, in Rhonda's case, she just. Noticed her asking the same questions over and over again, saying the same thing over and over again, doing things like not answering the phone, not being able to write down messages, not being able to tell me what time it was, things that never dawned on me could be the beginning of Alzheimer's. But I know there are now tests now I believe you can take.
Yeah, I think that's still early. I mean, I think there will be, I think, a blood test at
right.
some point. And
that's what I was reading about. That's the next step they're trying to get.
Right, and imaging, trying to get to the point where hopefully you can start to find some of that underlying pathology before some of these later manifestations become clinical.
We got to send her a quick break. Dr. David Ferguson, Rob Sutherland, talk about Alzheimer's and that war against that insidious disease. Let's keep fighting it. Stick around, gentlemen. Back after this.
From local stories to local voices, we're shining a spotlight on what matters right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's more than just talk. It's about connecting with the community. This is Mino and the Mayor. Now here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Southern here discussing Alzheimer's and discussing Mohs surgery in between here. But this is one of those things, what we're talking about Alzheimer's, and we've got Carrie, who does such a great job. Awareness, 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 awareness is so important. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely. That we spread the word. That's how we let people know in the community what's going on. People need to be aware of what Alzheimer's is. It affects, as we talked about earlier, thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin. And we need to get word out.
And with your wife, 52, that's young.
My passion is early onset because when Rhonda was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she was 56, maybe an actual diagnosis came. What a shock. I had never heard of it.
That's got to be difficult. You said look for some signs, and you mentioned a few. To get the next step, you should go in and get tested. I mean, there's got to be some pushback. It's like, come on, you're overreacting. And I want to just follow up on that one comment, Mom. My sister who died of that, there were some people who would say some things. Actually, I'm not kidding you. My wife is the one who diagnosed it. We went and she goes, Jim, something's wrong with your sister. And then it took, you know, a lot of pressure to get her to go and get a test.
My sister kind of did the exact same thing. So, okay, that's unusual for you to be doing this.
But they're like, just a bad day. So talk to me. How did you get your wife?
Of course. Well, there was a lot of resistance. She went south fast, I guess is the best way to put it. And she would have no part of wanting to go in and see a doctor or a neurologist. Finally, a couple things happened at the house that it was just evident. This isn't right, Rhonda. We got to do something. And she finally agreed with me. They went and they did that cognitive test the first time where they ask you to put the hands on the clock and things like that. And she did poorly. Then we went in about 6 months later and she did even worse. And at that point, they diagnosed early onset. And from that point forward, we did things like clinical trials, which everybody can do to help just help the Alzheimer's community take part in a clinical trial. If you'd like, we did that with Rhonda, think there might be a drug that would help her. Nothing really did help at that time. But it's
were
not
you
easy.
Your caretaker?
I was her caretaker, and fortunately, I had friends and family that realized I was struggling, and they offered help. That doesn't happen all the time in the community. People don't
even
know
Jay Leno's talking about that right now.
Yep,
he's kind of taking care. He's a caretaker for his wife, I believe.
Yep. Very, very difficult, very stressful, and that's part of what the Alzheimer's Association does, is raise funds not only for research but to help caregivers get respite, catch their breath a little bit.
That is so important. I don't think people see that. And spend 5 days in a row with someone. I mean, you're going to want that 2 days off as well, but they don't.
Well, we had the former governor on here one day.
Tony Earl.
I was just going to mention
Governor Schreiber talks about how the circle can shrink, you know, how friends, neighbors can withdraw. They're not quite sure how to deal with this. Individuals get embarrassed. They don't want to go out. They quit doing the things that they would normally do to help them stay connected.
Well, you know what I found, though, with my sister-in-law when I went down to visit her, is that she could be totally the regular her 1 minute. Like, we were talking about the old basketball games, and she was a cheerleader, and it was just like any of us having a conversation right now. And then a minute later, completely different. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that mentally as the caretaker, and I certainly wasn't the caretaker, but I just thought, my goodness, you're going to deal with this every day, and you got to be careful what you say, that I found, because some things seem to... She understood completely. Yep. You know what I mean?
You guys don't know what I mean, right? Very bizarre behavior. And the other just bit of advice, do not argue with somebody that has Alzheimer's.
I should say, Mr. Sutherland, you're not going to win. These repetitive questions, I'm just not good at taking that. It's like, you just asked me that too. You know what I mean? Like, you really got to be a special person to be a caretaker. We don't all have the deep pockets like Jay Leno. I mean, it can be expensive to get it in, so you have to have
ultimately
friends.
You have to understand it's not about you, it's about he or she, your partner.
You really do have to start changing the way you think about this, because their reality, I think that's what's so great about Governor Schreiber's message, is that their reality is not yours. Mm-hmm. And so trying to be rational, trying to have a rational conversation often doesn't work.
Right.
The emotional piece is still there. So it's really important to be able to, you know, say things with a smile. They pick up, you know, people pick up on the emotional cues, but I have that kind of thing, not to correct, not to argue, or not to challenge. And I was tired at the end of the day with one of the individuals I help. I had a long day and I kind of broke that rule. And it went south really quick, as you use that expression. Yeah. And I had to apologize. I had to kind of recover in that situation. Yeah. And it's tough.
I should say, I went through the exact same thing. I drove by, her son is my godchild. He's getting married. Went to the wedding. I walked in there. She goes, "What are you doing here?" I was like, you kind of get like mad. He took the day off. But you know what I mean? You just really have to. I think it's important people go through a little training.
Oh, and I think that's the great thing about the Alzheimer's Association. There's educational, all sorts of education pieces on communication, how to change the way you communicate with someone.
For someone that's going to be a caretaker, has a loved one with that. I think that is incredibly important.
It's trained, and you know, it's really... Again, learning and retraining yourself to communicate in a different way, and get as much as you can about how to deal with some of those difficult behaviors to avoid burnout in yourself, and also just to improve communication.
But they do still feel certain things in regards to, like, okay, with my sister-in-law and my brother and I were going to leave to go for dinner over some friends of his, okay? And she goes, "Well, why aren't I coming? Of course I'm going to come." See, she was totally lucid.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And at that point, it just breaks your heart, because you forget which person you're dealing with.
Yep.
And how'd you deal with that?
Well, you just take it. Honestly, it's a cliche, but a step at a time.
Yeah.
I can, like, in Rhonda, one of the most difficult things I dealt with, Rhonda, she lost her ability to speak. What's the word? Really easy, early. She couldn't communicate. You could tell maybe what she was thinking by the tone of her voice. But there were times also when I had her in memory care, and I'd go to visit, and she'd be crying uncontrollably, just couldn't stop crying. And I didn't know what it was. The people at the memory care facility would help her. She wouldn't take help from me. But all I could think of was maybe she just had a flash of reality. Mm-hmm. Maybe something all of a sudden.
And she realizes the situation she's in?
Oh, my goodness, what's going on? And it just crushed her. That was really so difficult to deal with.
And who knows, right?
Yeah.
Maybe
who
she
knows?
Did.
Yeah. How is the environment in where we live, right? In Appleton, Oshkosh, Green Bay. Do we know what we're doing? Do we have the facilities? You talked about the memory care. I know there's a couple of places right down the road here. How's the community doing in Northeast Wisconsin?
Rhonda was in West Bend, and I can speak for Washington. Washington County was. I never had a bad experience in any of the places she was at.
Wow.
And what I've learned from the city of Green Bay, for example, just traveling and talking to people, it seems wonderful. There are places to go, but the doctor knows more about
it. There are a number of memory care facilities in this area. And one of the challenges I see is, again, it's to me, it's one of the most complex areas of healthcare settings that there are, right? You have multiple individuals with cognitive decline, and it's very challenging to work with, as we've been talking about, day in and day out. And so getting people in there who are skilled and trained, I think that's one of the biggest things.
And keeping them.
I went into one of the memory care facilities. I met a very nice young woman. She had just graduated from high school. This was her first job, essentially, out of high school. She was gone in 2 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So, I mean, I think bumping up compensation, bumping up training, these are really complex jobs, really.
And I think I feel bad for people who might live, like, in Rhineland or in the sticks mm-hmm. a little bit, because they may not have the places we have here, and yet you kind of want to visit a lot. And so I think we have a lot of work to do, but a really good point though with the training. We have to pay more, but I hate to say it's a big industry, but it is a big industry, and we need to get more people interested in doing this kind of work.
But I think awareness again becomes important. I go to a lot of doctor's appointments now, and just even within our healthcare system, again, raising awareness in terms of how you communicate and how you talk to patients with sure. with dementia as they come into their appointments. Sometimes I see the healthcare individuals are so focused on tasks that they sometimes don't slow down and really try to communicate effectively with people.
Dr. David, I wanted to ask you, my father had it, right? Grandparents had it. So I'm pretty much feeling this will be my outcome. Okay. And I've noticed little things about my life. I've always been somebody who likes routine just because then I don't have to worry about where I put my keys. They're always going to be there. Okay. I'm worried about it, and I can't seem to get my healthcare provider to check me out. You're too young. Well, I'm in my mid-50s. I want to be prepared for this. How can I get my medical providers to care about something that's important to me when we're talking about Alzheimer's?
Let me just say one thing. I didn't know Todd was that old.
You didn't know I was mid-50s?
No!
No.
I thought you were in your 40s. Well, I thought you were like 46.
He's very, very private. We don't even know where he lives.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that.
But what about that? What if you feel like I'm not right and your doctor's like, come on, you're young. Don't worry about that.
Well, I think it's to keep pressing. I mean, you do have to advocate for yourself. Yeah. And I think there does get to a point, if you brought up the conversation, not that I'm a big proponent of hopping to different healthcare providers, but I mean, I think I have seen some healthcare providers that aren't as in tune to what's going on. I mean, they have to stay up. And, if you start noticing some significant changes, the screening tests are pretty, there are some screening tests.
Yep.
At least have them done if you don't. And if you're really concerned, I helped an individual the other day. They got the full neuropsych testing. There were some concerns on the screening test and went for full.
So a person could do that? I would do this.
You need a referral. I mean, you need a referral from a physician.
Right. And
because you imagine there aren't that many neuropsychologists in the Green Bay area.
And so but then you do have a baseline. Because if he goes back in 2 years, 3 years, it's the same thing. You're fine. But, the doctor, that's what he knows, right? So I think...
Exactly. You start to, you get a baseline, and then you can start to see if you start some noticing some changes that you can get tested.
I know some NFL circles, that's kind of a thing now with concussions.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll have that first test, and then down the road, same test type of thing to see, recognize if there's been damage done. I mean, that's the big thing right now, right?
Yeah. Those baselines can be really important, especially with a strong family history.
Is it?
And we're going to expand. There's some genetic testing that.
That's
can be
what
done.
I was just going to ask.
Yep. There's some genetic testing that. Can
what
be
have
done.
You found so far? As far as is it passed on?
There is a genetic link for some families. There's some abnormal genes which change the way some of these proteins are handled in the brain.
Okay.
And so there are increased risks for some genetic profiles for folks.
Okay. Wow. So. Interesting. Wow. Well, God bless you guys for fighting this fight.
We all need to get in. Behind this, and I know money goes to research, and that's the cure, right? I mean, everybody's like, "Well, where's the money going?" that's just the way this country works. We spend a tremendous amount of money on research, but boy, when we find the outcome, it can change the world. You have a couple events coming up. I just want to talk about that. Yep. So if people want to attend that, and maybe Doc or one of you on the June 25th, the whole kickoff, because the big thing that in this community and a lot of communities, I'm sure, is that Alzheimer's walk. That's unbelievable how many people come
for that.
They do
a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Carrie does a wonderful job.
She does.
In this area. And June 25th at Higmeister Park, is that how you say
it? Right here. It's right behind us.
There it is.
Stumbling distance.
It's literally 50 feet away from us.
It's the kickoff event. It's kind of the beginning of the walk. Everybody's invited. Of course, it's free. And if you're interested, I encourage you to come and just be part. Just be part of that. Learn some things.
Put your teams together.
That's right. But in that, and eventually the walk is being held on the 27th of September. Mm-hmm. Form a team, sponsor a team, have your employer form a team, raise money. It's a great day. They really do wonderful work. The Alzheimer's Association does
great speakers. Yeah, that's a good event, and it's nice to get support from people you didn't know, and you meet them there. It's like, wow, that's okay.
We've made a commitment right here, Todd, myself, Jim. We've made a commitment to.
Yeah, we're all in.
We're all in.
Awesome.
You bet.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Great stuff. Great having you both here. And every time you guys speak, every time we get that on the air, I think we're helping people because of you people.
Absolutely.
So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning, 58 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton now. Oshkosh 58, partly cloudy with showers, high in the upper 60s today, but a beautiful forecast heading into this weekend for the Dino Pitchka softball tournament to the town of Casco. That one's coming up. And man, two great gentlemen we just had right there, Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Sutherland, talk about ALS Awareness Days, Awareness Month, I should say, and the walk they've got coming up. And we've all committed, because it's all affected our families here, that we're going to be backing that as much as possible. Brewers in action again today against the Red Sox, 11:35 right here on WISS. Brewers coming off that huge win last night. Christian Yelich with a grand slam walk-off. That was really, really cool.
We should play that again before the day's out. I mean,
could you do that again,
7:30 or something.
If anybody didn't hear it.
Or 8:30, I mean. 7:30.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. I like Yelich a lot.
Yeah. Pretty cool day so far, because you look at, you know, we haven't, how important both these things are, right? Raising funds, giving out scholarships to kids that, different needs, right?
You bet.
All the way from here to Milwaukee, privately funded. And then you got these, Dr. Ferguson and, of course, Mr. Sutherland, just bringing awareness. You know, there hasn't been a politician in here. I mean, that what really makes this community work are the people behind the scenes.
No question.
It's.
I don't think you were here the day we had the governor, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You would have loved this guy. That was like the wrong day for you to not be here, because you and him would have hit it off. Great, great
guy.
Oh,
my gosh. He was awesome.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And that book, by the way. He wrote the book about his wife.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's just so honest and true.
Yeah.
Just, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
So. I've got the audio from Yelich. You want that again?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. This is a highlight last night.
Hang on a second. Wrong button.
Oh, boy.
One day you guys will get a good producer, right?
Good
help is so hard.
It is. It's tough.
Man. Yeah, many times.
Double last inning off of Aroldis Chapman was rolled over the third base bag. Pitch to him. Fly ball deep right. It's going to win the game. Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness, Christian Yelich. He walks it off in grand fashion. The Brewers win it 5-1 in the 10th. How do you do? And the comeback ended with a yelly bomb.
How cool is that?
Man, sit there 10 innings. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
To end that way.
Yeah. That was cool.
Worth every penny.
That was absolutely so cool.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. John Kramer, Green Bay Press Times will be coming in with all the great things they've got going, including the Packer Titletown area. Bryce Kane coming up at 8:35. Bryce is the young man, the young entrepreneur.
These guys are awesome.
Who I can't wait for you to talk more with him about, okay, what's your business plan? What's your whatever?
I went to see him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's kid's going to do very, very well. I mean, treats customers right. He's had, he's scheduled. You know, it's not like he reacts. You know, he kind of has a plan.
And his whole story is pretty amazing. A cancer survivor and getting into this at such a young age. It's, that was fun talking to him.
He's
in
his own place, and he's very confident. He's going to do great. He's going to do just fine.
I was thinking about bringing my Kia there to get it detailed. What do
you
think?
Should.
I would.
Why would you spend money detailing a Kia?
Hey, some of those cars are really nice.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
Just because you have oil problems doesn't matter.
Listen, I guess it's not a BMW, so why would you bother?
I guess they're not taking a BMW to the homeless shelter.
Oh, I know.
Right?
I got
one of the funniest lines you ever had. I was feeling comfortable pulling up in my BMW when people are waiting to get a free meal.
There's a long line of people, but that's where the parking lot is. I got to find a different place. But whatever. I think my heart's in it.
Yeah, don't maybe humble yourself and get a less, extravagant car. Find a different place to hide it.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. And he did. And the next time he parked from one of the dumpsters.
I did.
True story.
We're going to park over here.
Everything you needed to know about Jim Schmidt.
Yeah.
No, okay.
I got to say one more time. We're talking about the burgers thing and the different burger places like that. And we're talking about the little Frog Station. I still think a place like that around Door County for the Chicago people and all the people with someplace old and really, you know what I mean? They would love that.
Yeah, man. And make it look old too.
Yes.
Keep
it original. Keep the floor slanted.
Yep.
Those are the kind of places people look for nowadays.
There'll be a line.
The dive bar thing has become such a thing.
Yeah.
I think there's some money to be made at Frog Station. I really and truly do. And it's right there heading into the heart of Door County. Yeah.
That building has foundation problems.
Not that bad.
You realize how many burgers you're going to have to sell to fix that foundation?
You wouldn't even have to fix the foundation. Leave it as it is.
You will not get an occupancy permit then, John. What are you going to sell them with the back door?
Permits are so overrated.
Okay. All right. I just spent my life working on it. Okay, you go right ahead.
I'm just throwing
I'm
it
not
up.
Investing. I'll tell you that. I'll buy a burger from you, though.
I still have my heart set on Frog Station.
You talked about that when we first started a couple years ago. It's still for sale?
I think it's like abandoned. I think it's just kind of there.
Oh, so you can get it for the back taxes?
I think so.
I'll look at it, I guess.
You can live upstairs? I would live upstairs.
How far is that from here?
About 45 miles.
That's too far. You're not going to drive here. You would commute from there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Todd?
I don't know.
I'll
45
look at it.
Isn't bad.
No!
I mean,
no,
I do every day. Yeah. I do 55.
Yeah. Right.
I agree with you on people look,
They'd be all over their Snapchats. Oh, look where we are, the dive bar, whatever. Look at the floor slanted.
But, the chains are the chains, but people will go out of their way to find something
for
like
those
that.
Kind of places. I'd have the best burgers around. I'd have some lady that's like 84 cooking the onion rings.
Right.
She'd call everybody hun.
Right.
She'd make an unbelievable old-fashioned where she'd mullet.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it could work.
Okay. Thank you. Get my man cheese curd Nick.
Oh yeah, we
for fried cheese curds.
But don't offer too much. You know what I mean? Like don't have a plethora of stuff. Just have a focus on good point. You know, like
five or six sandwiches, a couple of sides.
Yes. That guy when you go down to Georgia Tech, there's that guy who just sells those Cuban sandwiches. You just stand in line, and that's all he's got. Really, is maybe a couple things you can change.
Where do you find a Georgia or a you're down talking the state of Georgia?
Yeah. Okay. Atlanta.
Because I forget where I was. Cuban sandwiches are awesome.
Oh, yeah. This guy, good. And it's just
you can't get them around here, can you?
No, not like that. No. But anyway, he just stuck to one product. And I'm telling you, there's a line out the door.
I'm doing this. Pasties on Tuesdays. Could he?
He's going off the business plan right away.
He'll go out and buy a shipload of Swanson pies.
Right.
That's what he'll call a pasty.
We'll have push-ups. Remember talking about push-ups? Yeah.
We'll have that. That
could work.
Back at this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.